This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
What's up, everybody? It is a Monday edition of the Orange Bloods podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum, coming to you on the heels of... We are into the offseason to a degree. We had an NFL divisional round playoff weekend, which more times than not is the highlight, one of the highlights of the sporting year. Everybody loves this weekend in the NFL, and yet it didn't quite give us the bang for our buck that I think we would have wanted coming into the weekend. But I'm gonna talk some Dallas Cowboys in a little bit. I rarely go on a tangent as it relates to the Cowboys on these podcasts, but it's a Monday. The offseason is here. And, you know, it's funny. Somebody mentioned in my 10 thoughts from the weekend thread over at orangebloods.com that I was a little too negative. So I didn't mean for it to be. You know, it was a weekend where the Texas basketball team lost. It was a weekend where my Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs lost. And they didn't just lose. The scoreline flatters them because at the end of the day, that didn't feel like an 8-point loss. And like I said, I will get into the Cowboys in a little bit. You know, it was a weekend where one of the more influential adults in the history of my life, probably the most influential teacher that I ever had, Don Caldwell, passed away going into the weekend. Former McCallum High School basketball coach, who was my freshman football coach. And, you know, maybe I'm sure there will be some time for that in today's podcast. But, you know, I don't mean to come into a Monday with a little bit of a dispiriting podcast. So I'm going to do my best to not have this be the most depressing thing that you listen to. Although I have a cowboy rant that's inside of me that I haven't even harnessed yet. So it may be that it will serve as therapy to the other cowboy fans out there. And if you're not a Cowboys fan, who doesn't love a good cowboy fan meltdown? First things first, if you haven't listened to the Ticket City podcast from this past weekend, going into the weekend, I would suggest making that appointment listening at some point. Really good stuff as it relates to the decision by Tom Herman to keep his entire staff intact. We talked about the decision for Lil Jordan to go pro and what it means within the offense, and these are all things that over the course of the last week, I think we've talked about quite a bit on the Yak. We've written about quite a bit over at orangebloods.com. It is much discussed. So, you know, from a UT athletic standpoint, there's only a couple of things that I think truly warrant recognition from the weekend. The Texas basketball team, oh man, I feel like I say this every year about the Texas basketball team program, and I've been saying this since, you know, the last 4 or 5 years of the Rick Barnes era. It's just, oh, can somebody put us out of our misery? You know, Texas played one of the best teams in the country on Saturday against Texas Tech. So in a vacuum, Texas was in a very competitive game against Texas Tech. They lost. They came up short. You know, you can't beat them up because they didn't beat the number 8 team in the country. But that's looking at that game in a vacuum. The reality is, it was an ugly game. It was close, but it was ugly. And it's just so painful to watch Texas basketball. And I told this story in my column today over at orangebloods.com. So check it out if you haven't read it yet. But, you know, Texas basketball is the thing that turned me towards Texas athletics. There would be no orangebloods.com today, not at least as it currently stands, if once upon a time when I was a teenager, I didn't start watching Texas athletics, not just because I lived in Austin and moved there at the age of 10, But Tom Pender's basketball program, specifically the BMW crew, Blanks, Mays, Wright, that was like one of the things that got me hooked. And, you know, whereas Texas football is a job, and I've been doing it for 25 years, and at some point, all jobs become jobs. You know, when you've experienced everything that can be experienced in covering a program for the most part. You know, you're just so close to watching how the sausage is made. It does take, you know, I went to the University of Texas. I was a student. Once upon a time, absolutely, I was a Texas fan. But then, you know, you grow up, you become a journalist at your job, and there's a separation of lines and for clarity's sake. But with basketball, I've never really fully, you know, disconnected from that, I guess I should say. And that it's not really my beat. You know, we've, over the years, you know, there have been times that I've covered basketball for the website, but, you know, we really starting with Jerry Hamilton in the very infancy of orangebloods.com, way back in the beginning, that's where the basketball coverage kind of began. And then Dustin McComas took control of the basketball coverage for the better part of the last decade. It's just not my beat. Occasionally I will dab my toe into the basketball waters, but I, you know, I get a chance, like I want to like and watch and be entertained and root for Texas basketball. I like it when Texas basketball wins. You know why? Because it extends the calendar for us into the offseason in a way where when the basketball team is good and the Texas baseball team is good, like really good, then you get a ride into June as a Texas athletics supporter and as a media member covering the team. You know, you get into this place where the offseason gets shortened and condensed to about 6 weeks if Texas is really on its game in both basketball and baseball. If you can get the basketball program to just give you some juice, give you some excitement, you know, get you into the second or third weekend of March, and then you hand it off to baseball. And then the baseball team takes you into June. Then when you're done, there's just, and then you blink, and a month goes by, and they're doing conference meetings, and players are being interviewed, and then practice starts in about 6 weeks, and there's games in 8 weeks, and it's like, hallelujah! That was the easiest offseason ever! But Texas hasn't had that the last few years. And, you know, the thing about the Texas basketball program is that, like, for myself personally, like, I love basketball. I watch a lot of basketball. And I want Texas to be good because I'm watching every Texas basketball game, in part because it's my job, but it's not really my beat, if that makes any sense. And the decision, like the lack of desire to be engaged with the Texas basketball program has everything to do with what's happening on the court. Just like the football program before this past season, it's almost been a decade since the basketball has been fun around here. A decade. You know, say what you want to about the Penders years. They were fun. You know, they felt empty by the end and you wanted to start having some success and you wanted something tangible besides just fun. And then Rick Barnes shows up and he gives you that tangible success. It's not quite as fun, but the winning is such that you'll take it. You'll take it. Absolutely. That's what you're in it for. And then you hit the end of the Rick Barnes era where it's neither fun nor successful. You hand it over to Shaka Smart, and these 4 years, they've just been tough. And I think most people that listen to this podcast, most people that read my stuff over at orangebloods.com, they think of me as a pro Shaka Smart guy. I have no problem saying that. I like Shaka. I've wanted Shaka to do well. I root for Shaka. But it just hadn't happened. And we all knew coming into this year that this was a big one for Shaka, that they going into year four, man, you can't be living on an oxygen machine all the way to the finish line for months. Are we going to have enough air? It's just not happening. Sometimes it's just as easy as that. You know, sometimes marriages don't work out. Sometimes you take a job, you move to another city. You're Jim Halpert in Scranton, and it's just not happening. And, or where was it that Halpert went? I guess he went home to Scranton. He eventually came back to Scranton. I'm forgetting where Jim went to get away. Anyway. So yeah, man, we're at that point. We're at that point where this season's going to play out. And, you know, I think Chris Del Conte, Texas athletic director, has got a decision to make. How much does basketball matter? How much ambition truly exists? What's the bar? What's the standards? Because we talk about it in football. We'll talk about it in baseball. But I don't, you know, if goals have been established, I really don't know what they are. But I know what's not happening. And it's making it's made Texas basketball. It's made Texas basketball fans, just the levels of apathy that you can just sense from everybody. If Texas wins a game, everybody will respond to an article written by McComas and say, "Don't care." Texas basketball loses, it's like, okay, time to replace Shaka Smart. And there's nothing in between. There's nothing in between. Meanwhile, you know, speaking of apathy, the Dallas Cowboys season ended over the weekend. They lost an 8-point game in Los Angeles to the Rams, to a team that on Saturday night was just absolutely better than Dallas. There have been playoff games that I've seen where I didn't necessarily think to myself, that team's better than Dallas. Now, sometimes you just lose and there's that regret. Think about the way Cowboy fans react and continue to have reacted post the Dez, it was a catch game. Right? That game is still haunting. It still feels like Dallas was robbed. That had that not happened, something beyond, I don't know that I feel that. But I know that that's the general perception. People that talk about the Dez, would have Dez caught it, and I think he did. They usually neglect to mention that, well, okay, so it was a catch, and the Cowboys score a touchdown, and then Aaron Rodgers gets the ball back with a minute 45. You know, like that, you know, a true Cowboys fan at this point should know. And that game was going to end in a loss one way or the other because this is Dallas Cowboys and they don't get past the divisional round of the playoffs no matter what's going on. Not in almost a quarter of a century. So there are some Cowboys losses and some games I think in general. I gave the Houston Texans fans this lecture to some degree a week ago. And, you know, it's better to get your ass kicked than it is. Because you can square that away. They were better than us. Okay. Well, that's the type of thing that we tell ourselves, you know, let's just do it. Let's go at it. And if at the end of the day, you're better than I am, well then, okay, I'll shake your hand and you were better. But, you know, when it happens with our sports teams, sometimes we want to begrudgingly give that respect. Not me. Not Saturday night. The Rams were better. And the Rams didn't even particularly play well. But look, when you've got C.J. Anderson running all day on what was allegedly one of the best run defenses in the NFL, like, what are you going to do? Oh, I've just reached this point as a Cowboys fan. And this is where, look, and Texas basketball fans are on their way because they haven't felt this way about Texas basketball. As long as I felt this way about being a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, but man, the years add up. And it's, you know, it's the reason why when people say, well, do you want Tom Herman to have success? Right? Because I'm like this media guy and you play no favorites. I had somebody questioning me on the board today, like, thought you said you weren't a fan. It's like, well, I can want nice things to happen to people that I think are nice. You know, I'm not a robot. And the thing that I've always wanted with Herman was I don't want Texas football fans selfishly because Orange Bloods is a business. Because it's been a decade since we've had an offseason where you could smile, where Texas fans could just feel good about the thing that they love. I have not wanted Texas basketball to go to that place where the Dallas Cowboys football is at for me. Because I don't, and it's weird because this is where maybe some of you guys are just better fans than I am. Because that's what some fans want to say. You're just too negative. You're a bad fan. I think about if there was a Dallas Cowboys message board similar to Orange Bloods, and there may be. I'm just not that glutton for punishment. I'm not seeking it out. I have no idea if Blogging the Boys has a message board where people go crazy. I'm sure I could find a Reddit forum where there are Cowboy fans, and I bet it's a wild Reddit forum. If I was posting on a Dallas Cowboys forum, I would be CS. Or I would be one of these guys that most of you would think, oh, he's a troll. He's just being a troll. Why? Because he's negative all the time. That's how I feel as a Cowboys fan. I have no hope. None. Maybe being a realist about so many things, that's how I try to, like, that's what I prescribe for myself. Reality-based thought. So I look at the Dallas Cowboys, man, there's no dream to be had. There's no dream. It's not to say that I didn't enjoy the aspects of this season where they won a division and they won a playoff game. Yeah, man, I enjoyed that. But when you have no hope to actually accomplish the things that you aspire as a fan to want to accomplish, when there's no hope, it limits the amount of, and look, this is where Texas basketball fans are right now. You know, if I were to get like Arlong 68 out, and if I was to say, hey, look, the Longhorns are going to make the tournament. You know, that on the surface, that's not a bad thing. That means from here until the end of the season, they've beaten some ranked teams. They've had some enjoyable wins, but there's nothing tangible to hope for. This team could never win a Big 12 championship. This team's got, there's nothing that suggests, I mean, I guess it could make a Sweet 16, at which point, by pure definition of having gotten to the second weekend of the tournament, the entire season, no matter the context, gets labeled as a success. However, and you only got to win twice to do that. I mean, in theory, this team could do that. There's no real hope for this team. There's no hope for entertaining basketball. There's no hope that this team becomes consistently really good. Then even if they make the tournament, there's no hope attached to it. It's just something that we're doing right now. It's not fun. And to me, that's Dallas Cowboys football. It's not fun being a Dallas Cowboys fan. And, you know, an interesting thing happened to me when they beat Seattle a week ago. Like, I enjoyed it. I smiled. I was happy. But there was a lack of exhilaration with winning that playoff game. And you know why? Because I knew that there was a limited amount of value to that. That whatever's going to happen, this team wasn't going to get to the Super Bowl. This team hadn't won a division playoff game in 23 years and counting now. So that was my hope. Like, a little bit of hope. I changed the finish line. Forget about the Super Bowl. My God. What an accomplishment it would be for this team to get to the conference championship game. I feel like a Cincinnati Bengals fan. Like, let's just move the bar. Let's move the bar. You know, yes, 5 Super Bowls, 3 and 4 years when I was a very young, when I was a teenager and a young adult. Like, let's lower it. I did that this weekend, and I had hope. In fact, I didn't think that they would be able to go to New Orleans and beat New Orleans. And can I be fully transparent? I was deathly afraid of Dallas hosting the Eagles in an NFC championship game. Whoa, talk about risk reward. A little bit like Texas OU in the championship game. just this past month. A little bit like that. It's like, whoa, we're playing for a championship, but we got to play them? Like, I don't know how ready I was. You know, it was better than ass kicking to the Rams, I think, because then I don't know what it would even be like to. I just have processed that the Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions, and Dallas hasn't won a divisional playoff round game in 23 years and counting. Like, I'm just processing that still. But this to still be processing that and then to have had to play the Eagles in an NFC championship game, it's only happened one time. Happened way back, I guess, January of 1981. I was 4 and a half years old. It was 1 year before I consciously remember having Dallas Cowboy memories. Like, I remember a lot of the 1981 season. I remember the catch. I remember playing Detroit that year. And I really remember the 1980 season. Just a little too young. And so in my lifetime, that's never happened. But the only time it's ever happened, the Eagles won. They still talk about that game in Philadelphia. It was 40 years ago. Beat Dallas. It reminds me, when you go into a town like Waco, or you go to a town like Wichita Falls, and they still talk about that tornado from 1979. You know, you walk into an old restaurant and there's newspaper clippings. Oh, the old tornado changed everything in this town. Well, that's what the Eagles beating the Cowboys was back in January of 81 to take that 1980 season to the Super Bowl to get, you know, mollywopped by the Raiders. So I would have accepted it because, by God, just to get out of the second round of the playoffs and an entire generation, you know, I think technically a generation is defined as once every 33 years. Man, an entire generation of Americans, generation of everybody has almost forgotten what it's like for America's team to be good, successful, with actual delusions of grandeur because you could do anything. And that's the issue with the team right now. Like, I have less hope with Jerry Jones owning the Dallas Cowboys and Jason Garrett being the coach than Texas basketball fans have with Shaka Smart leading Texas basketball to anything significant. I have less. You know why? Because I've had more years of this. You know, Jerry says after the game, I'm going to have to give Garrett an extension. And I'm kind of beyond the point where, I get really upset when Dallas loses. Like, right, the anger and the wanting to punch the wall and scream and scare my animals because I'm yelling at the TV. Like, I'll do that for Liverpool soccer. Dallas Cowboys football right now, it's a quiet watch. It's a quiet watch because I don't believe in Jason Garrett. I don't believe in Jerry Jones. I don't believe Jason Garrett has the job in Dallas as long as he's had it, but even to have it in the first place, except he's a hood ornament for Jerry Jones, who was a member of those championship teams and had a couple of moments in reserve of Troy Aikman. And Jerry knows, man, he can do anything he wants with Jason Garrett. But Jason Garrett's wanted by nobody. Jason Garrett has no discernible skill in 2019 that if he wasn't the head coach of the Cowboys, what the hell is Jason Garrett doing? Nobody's going to want him as a head coach. And correct me if I'm wrong, but he's not exactly an offensive-minded genius. So what does he bring you? He brings you comfort for Jerry Jones. You look at successful head coaches in the NFL, and they have a stamp. They do something. You look at Sean McVay, the guy that coached against Jason Garrett over the weekend. You know whose offense that is. You know whose offense that is. You look at Belichick in New England, you know his fingerprints are all over the defense. You look at Andy Reid in Kansas City, his fingerprints are all over that Kansas City offense. You look at Sean Payton in New Orleans, his fingerprints are all over that New Orleans offense. You look at Jason Garrett in Dallas, and that motherfucker claps. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. And Jerry Jones is comfortable with that, because this is as good as it's ever going to get. Jerry's in the Hall of Fame. What does he care now? His legacy is set. He's just taking the rest of us as suckers for a ride. And it's just hard as a Cowboys fan to be as emotionally invested as I used to be, which is why I get Texas basketball fans. I get that when I wrote a year ago, and look, I still believe that Shaka Smart is a damn good coach. Look, really good coaches go places. Look, Rick Barnes is a damn good coach. And towards the end, like, he needed a change. It just wasn't right anymore. It was no longer peanut butter and jelly. It was like peanut butter and mustard. Which I've never tried before. I suppose that might be okay. But like, the reality is you could just make another combination with both of those things and make it better. I could think of something that, you know, I could think of things that I want mustard on. I could think of things that I want peanut butter on. I like to mix those things together, but not together. I like to mix those things together with other things. And I feel that way about Shaka Smart, but I don't even feel that way. Like, I feel Shaka Smart is going to get a job post-Texas, and I think he's going to have a nice career. I think this is it for Jason Garrett. So it's a pity ride at this point. Because, like, what does he coach? What does Jason Garrett coach? He's not a coordinator. And almost all offensive coordinators are their own quarterback coaches. The only, like, I don't know what Jason Garrett's value is other than he's here. You know, I worked in television a long time ago. And back in, I want to say, 97, probably my best friend in the world at the time, no offense, he and I were inseparable. I was his producer. He was our weekend sports guy. He got a job in Hartford, Connecticut. And when he left, I got to witness how the job interview process in television works. I got to watch as all of these VHS tapes showed up from all around the country, from all of these people wanting that job. There were people whose tapes I saw that didn't get jobs at KI that later got jobs in that market. Dennis De La Pena is a perfect example. He essentially interviewed for that job. He just didn't get it. And then it wasn't very long afterwards where a new spot opened up and Dennis got the job. So we had this news director that just couldn't decide. Didn't know what he wanted to do. Like, no. And to be fair, Andy Lascato and Noah Fins as a partnership was perfect. Perfect. And Noah was as good of a weekend sports guy and like weekday sports reporter as you're going to find. Terrific. And when Noah left, they couldn't find anybody. Jeff Godless, the news director, couldn't find anybody they liked. So there's this guy named Jake Downey. And Jake, who was a super nice guy, and I believe is like working in LA right now. He was from California originally. He wanted the job. So Jake submits his tape to Jeff Godless. And Jeff Godless looks at it and doesn't like it. You know how I know it? Because I believe I was in the room when Jeff Godless watched the video. We saw like some of his favorites. And Jake Downey was a guy whose tape that he showed. But he was like, I don't really like this guy. And then something amazing happened a few days later. Jake Downey. And this is one of the great lessons I learned in television in all my years. Jake Downey was told no by Jeff Godless. He said, no, you're not really what I'm looking for. Jake Downey jumped in his car, drove his ass from Southern California all the way to Austin, Texas, showed up like on a Monday morning at the TV station, was like, I want to meet with Jeff Godless. I'm Jake Downey. And Jeff Godless comes out and meets Jake Downey, and he's like, well, I didn't like your tape, Jake. And Jake's like, yeah, but I'm here. I'm here. I'll work. I'll work cheaply. I'll make it easy for you. I think he worked for free that week. It was like a tryout. Jake was putting it together and was trying to, and Jake's just an awesomely nice guy. Really was. And talented. He was, is. I haven't seen Jake's work in 20 years, but, you know, like Jake was a perfectly suitable guy. There just wasn't anything great about Jake. Not as a TV guy. And who knows? Like, I was in television. I'm not in television either. I might have fallen into that category, too, had I stayed in that profession. But Jake showed up, and Jake was a nice guy, and Jake wanted the job, and Jake was appreciative, and Jake would do whatever Jeff Godless wanted, and he would do it at a salary that would make Jeff Godless happy. Franks and beans, basically. Some coupons to Food Mart, like whatever. Here, do you like to get paid in icy slushies? And Jake got the job. And that's what I think about when I think of Jake. He got the job because he was there. He was there. It was comfortable. And there wasn't any pushback. This guy wasn't going to cause him any problems. This guy was going to be cheap. I look at Jason Garrett. That's who I see. Because what's Jerry going to do? If Jerry doesn't want to go out and hire somebody great, and he's not gonna want anybody who wants any more power. Like, he wants a yes man. He ain't trying to do that Bill Parcells stuff anymore. And you know why? Because he didn't win a Super Bowl with Bill, and Bill had Jerry is like one of he's like a college football fan. He's like a sports fan in general, in that. Jerry likes to point out that if it had been up to Bill Parcells, the Cowboys never would have drafted DeMarcus Ware. Right? They went out and they got Marcus Spears. And then in that same draft, Bill Parcells didn't want DeMarcus Ware. And they kind of said, no, we're overruling you. You're getting DeMarcus Ware. And then obviously DeMarcus Ware turns into a Hall of Fame player. Jerry likes to do that thing where he points at a mistake as evidence that this dude wasn't all that great. Kind of like what we're seeing with Nick Saban in Alabama right now, where is Alabama about to fall apart? They just were number one all year and lost in the national championship game to the number two team in the country. They blasted Oklahoma the week before. And yet, you know, people want to, well, Nick Saban went for that fake punt. That's proof that he's losing it. It's proof you don't have to have Nick Saban. It's like, forget about all other context and just focus on that thing that conveniently makes your argument. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Jerry Jones. It's Jerry in a nutshell. So, you know, I even have a hard time thinking that he would go out and hire a guy like Lincoln Riley. Because Lincoln Riley probably could have his choice of jobs if he wanted to go to the NFL. Why would he want to go someplace where he's marginalized as a head coach, where he has to live with the pressure of Jerry being Jerry all the time? And I know, you know, people want to say, well, Jerry's not making the decisions anymore. It's still Jerry. It's still Jerry. Who says things like, I'll probably give Garrett an extension after the game because why would he keep his mouth shut and, you know, do what successful people do all the time, which is take their time before making really important decisions. Anyway, that's it. That's my Cowboys rant. I have no hope, which made Saturday easier to swallow, though. It really did. It made Saturday easy to swallow because I've been there too many times. Because that whole fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me thing gets real personal when it's fool me once, shame on you, fool me 23 times, shame on me. I don't know that I can get caught up. And you know what? It happened in 2016. I think I got caught up. You know, if you go back since the Super Bowl years, January of 96, the last time we were happy as Cowboy fans, the 2007 season was felt storybook. It didn't end with the Super Bowl because we ran into the Giants. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong team. So 2007 felt storybook, and 2016 kind of felt storybook. And in 2007, I wasn't so beaten down that I had hope. In 2016, I had hope. Well, in 2016, I thought I was despondent, if you will. But then the season happened, and I fell in love with that team. Like, it was a team easy to love. But now a few years later, the cast and crew are somewhat similar. They were just in the playoffs, and yet it doesn't feel very romantic. It doesn't feel very storybook. It feels very much like the next act in a play that I know the final answers to. I know how it ends, and it's never fulfilling. And that's what it's like to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. In 2019, to watch a play, to watch or read a book. You know, it's like reading Tolstoy and getting to the end, and you're like, I knew that was going to happen. I knew that from the first chapter. This ended up not being a very positive and uplifting. Here's what I hope. I hope if you're a Texas basketball fan or a Dallas Cowboys football fan that we did therapy together in this. And I hope that if you hate the Cowboys, I hope this is the kind of thing that just made your Monday because you love it when Cowboys tears are the best tears. I don't know if these were tears, but they were something. I tell you what, I'll do another podcast a little later in the week where despondent isn't the theme. But today, it kind of was. I'll talk to you later in the week.